Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
Thank you. Let us read the Word of God in St. John's Gospel, chapter 17, the Lord's great high priestly prayer, and also reading on into the 18th chapter, the first 11 verses. The Gospel according to John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, who knoweth we seek to bow before thee now, even to come and bow low at the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace, do grant us prayer. Who knoweth, Lord, we cannot ourselves command it, but oh, we beg that we may have that indicted in us, we may pray to thee and pour out our hearts to thee in our feeling sense of need, as we are in much need now, for who is sufficient for these things. We feel so, Lord, insufficient. Oh, Lord, do come and presence thyself with us here, Lord. Who knoweth we meet under the cloud of sorrow and sadness, Lord, and mourning, Lord, with our friends. Lord, yet we No, we have so much to rejoice over. And Lord, firmly believing a loved one is safe landed home. But Lord, we are left below to struggle with the powers of hell till Jesus bid us go. We beg, do prepare us, Lord, and know it here we acknowledged in the hymn that tremendous sound, eternity, tremendous sound. And now with all those years ago, 63 years ago, that tremendous sound was so impressed in one and upon one, after they had stopped us in our royal career and brought us under solemn conviction of sin. And Lord, hear that tremendous sound of eternity to guilty souls, a dreadful wound. And it was, and we were a guilty soul, oh, condemned under the law. And Lord, thou knowest how each one is here, Lord, each soul here, how, what, and what state and condition they're in. And Lord, we do pray that it may be and may still be with us each and all, that eternity is a tremendous sound. And by being made by the Spirit's work a tremendous sound, may it, Lord, be so given to us each to be deeply concerned as regarding eternity. Where shall I spend eternity? Oh, Lord, we must not, we cannot take for granted that because we try to live a Christian life, we shall be right at last. It's nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, that will make us right. And so, Lord, we pray now. We beg that we may be in solemn concern and exercise as regarding our never-dying souls. And Lord, as I come as a poor preacher, Lord, to preach to the friends here, Lord, it's the burden of souls upon me. Each one we preach to as a never-dying soul. And Lord, oh, I beg that it may be brought as our friend has had the exercise to so come and bring and give out the hymn. It may be the exercise in every one here. Where shall I spend eternity? Oh, Lord, oh, we think of it in the way of the words of another theme. Oh, heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Lord, do come today, and so give us to be in solemn exercise. We may be seeking thee to know that we are saved by grace, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You know, his Lord, when returning home last evening, you know, it's in those moments of our first relaxing, we were begging for the word to bring before the friends here today, especially for this morning service. And Lord, thou didst drop them in wonderfully, Lord, thou didst. And so we have some sweet hope and confidence thou wilt come and favour us in this service this morning. Lord, oh, we pray for a door of utterance in thy word. Oh, that thou wilt pour in, that we may pour out this morning. That there may be that shall be given and applied to precious souls. What they are experiencing, the trials of life, the tribulation, the sorrows. Oh, that there may be an understanding given to us each. This is the will of God concerning us. Oh, Lord, we're in the path of sorrow and sadness, and Lord, and tribulation and a trial, and Lord, thy solemn dealings with us, and in these solemn days in which thy judgments are upon the land and upon the countries of the world. And Lord, that among our peoples, Lord, we are not exempt from the plague, Lord. Oh, friends, loved ones and friends have been taken with it. Oh, and brought down with it. Some have been taken by death, Lord, of our peoples, who know it, Lord, the taking home of our dear friend, the pastor of the friends at Ossett. And oh, how solemnly among our people the mourners go about the streets. And now there was visited a dear family here and taken one of thy dear daughters home. We think of the words in the psalm, and we believe this is how she was prepared. The king's daughter is all glorious within. She shall be brought before the king in raiment of needlework. Thou hast taken her, Lord, to thyself. We do greatly mourn with our friends. We feel it with them, Lord. We know what loss is. We mourn, Lord. We pray for grace. Grace to be given. And we believe thou hast been wonderfully giving grace. And Lord, that word that is so precious to oneself and my dear one, he will give grace and glory. And so those that are still in Meshach can look on as faith is in exercise, that they too shall be landed home. Oh, thy appointed time. Oh, Lord, we pray for everyone here that it may be a concern to us to be prepared to stand before our God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit, Lord, must the work perform, for it is all of grace in Christ's obedience clothed, and wash us in his blood. Oh, the hymn writer put it personally, wash me in his blood. Then shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Lord, help us now as we go on in our pilgrimage journey to live to thy praise. Oh, grant faith in exercise, strength and faith in us each with hope and love, that we may so be living, believing, trust in thee, our God. Help us, Lord, thus in every step of the way yet. Lead us on, Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. May we see thee by faith, our glorious leader gone before us. The Lord, help us each. Help each soul here, Lord. Oh, any, and we all have the trouble of disobedience, any disobedient ones. And Lord, ere we feel it personally much, we are so much coming short of what we should be. And let all obedient souls their grateful tribute bring. Submit to Jesus' righteous rules and bear before the King. We may be true followers of thee, Lord, followers of them who through faith and patience now inherit the promises. Lord, give us grace sufficient. Thou hast promised it, Lord, to thy people, promised it to the apostle, and the apostle much included it in his ministry, of what he had had of the word from thyself. And so, Lord, we pray we may prove it, for we believe this as what we've read in the reading this morning, especially the words of the great high priestly prayer, but also those words, Lord, thou didst drop into our heart last evening, Lord. Lord, we pray we may so have the feeling of thy holy, blessed presence here, Lord. We may know it, Lord, by the blessed felt sense of what thou dost come to do. For when thou comest to thy people, like as recorded in the word of those occasions when thou went to thy disciples and stood in the midst, and Lord, thou didst speak those words, peace be unto you. Oh, Lord, her mind goes back all those years to just before we were married, Lord, nearly 60 years ago, when we heard our dear late friend Mr. Wood preach in peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And of course, we were not in the ministry then, but Lord, thou hast since so brought us to be. And Lord, this is our heart's desire, even here today, to be preaching peace by Jesus Christ. peace to troubled souls where they're in the conflict, where they know much tribulation, where Satan brings up all the noise and confusion. Lord, so much in us, Lord, takes possession of us in our old nature. Oh, Lord, there's the battle, the conflict. We pray, Lord, that today it may be thy purpose to grant us respite from all the rage of hell and sin. Come, Lord, and speak peace. Oh, we think of how they would speak in the boat when the seas were so rough and they were in jeopardy, and they would just say, peace, be still. Come today, Lord, and speak peace to thy people. Oh, speak what is needed. Apply thy word. Bless souls. Do sinners good. And Lord, as we pray in these ways, Lord, we know and we have the confidence that thou dost give us, and Lord, maintain in us that where thou dost speak and bless souls, they will glorify thee. So, Lord, we ask with a singleness of eye to thy glory. Oh, may there be many blessed benefits felt of the gospel. May souls be able to say and desire it and be in exercise to practice it in praise. Oh, as the benefit is ours, be all the glory thine. Oh, may it be so, Lord. So do come, Lord, and help us here. We pray for all our friends up and down across the land, all the little hills of Zion. We pray thy favour upon our own people, Lord. Our friend and brother conducting the reading service this morning. And as we hope to hear thy servant this afternoon, Lord, coming to us from Clifton, Lord, thou knowest the burden we carry to pray and been praying for him in his journey up. And his ministry at Clifton today and our cures this afternoon, Lord, thou art wonderfully helping him and giving witness in the church, although he's only recently been sent out a couple of years into the ministry, but thou art wonderfully using him. Oh, bless thy servants, Lord, this day. They may have feeling thy presence and be much favoured in their own souls. And oh, may the word of God run and have free course and be glorified in every gathering of thy people. May it be that thou art glorified, Lord. Oh, that we may praise Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Lord, help and bless and be with all thy people throughout the world in these terrible days. Keep and bless and help. And Lord, undertake for them. Lead us each on in the way. Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. Oh, do so hear us now, Lord, we beg, in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 698. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some words we've already read this morning. Words in the 18th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the 11th verse. John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Particularly the Lord's words, they are really a statement with a questioning theme. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Of course, he knew absolutely perfectly with perfect understanding, because in the Council of Jehovah it was perfectly agreed that he should come and suffer, bleed and die in the ruined place of sinners for their salvation. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The hymn writer, one of our hymns, has a blessed theme where we have the words, beginning begone unbelief, the hymn 232. But particularly I read the last two verses, verses 6 and 7. How bitter that cup, no heart can conceive, which he drank quite up, that sinners might live. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? We hope this applies to us each and all, since all that I meet shall work for my good. The bitter is sweet, the medicine food, though painful at present, will cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant, the conqueror's song. We think of those that are landed home. They're in that holy felicity and joy, drinking, as Josephine says, full draughts of heavenly bliss, singing the hallelujahs before the throne. But we're like I felt when my grandfather was taken, I quoted it to my mother. We are left below. I felt we could say, he's gone in endless bliss to dwell, while we are left below, to suffer with the powers of hell, till Jesus bid us go. You know, as we know, as we're all aware of it and feel it with you, the loss of a dear member of this church, a dear mother, dear wife. But, oh, I am confident. I believe you are confident she's home in heaven. And we say, in considering, what must it be to be there? But you know, like as the Lord said, regarding the cup my Father has given me, it seems to be upon my spirit, friends, that like this, in our little way compared with Christ, we will be made willing to suffer the cup appointed for us, however it is, the bitter is sweet, the medicine food, the child of God. It's the will of God. It's what is appointed for us each. Oh, the great example is, and the wonderful purpose of God is, all what Christ is and what he's done and what he's doing now. And how Peter very wrongly, although he thought he was doing right, I expect, and he tried to resist the arrest of Christ, by these that come, this band of men, cutting off the servant of the high priest here, but the Lord had to rebuke him. because he was so willing to go through. He was perfect in willingness, and according to the covenant, ordered in all things and sure what he must attend to and accomplish for the church. He must sacrifice himself. He must lay down his life. He must suffer, bleed and die in the ruined place instead of his people. And so these words are here recorded. The Lord stating the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? But on the low, much lower level of our experiences, our lives, God's will for us, you and me, everything's appointed by God. We're his people. Everything's appointed in love and mercy for us. And though there will be the bitter, the painful things, the very, very sad things, the very grieving things that we shall have to have and experience and walk through, it's the cup that our Father has appointed for us, friends. Your troubles, your sorrows, our sorrows in this chaos, he weighs and measures out our pain. It's God, our Heavenly Father, what he's appointed for us. And so, like our Lord and Saviour in our very small way, compared to him, we should be ready to say, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? We must submit to the will of our God. It is blessed, it is a great favour to have the grace of submission given us, the grace to accept. Being with our dear friends at Norwich last Lord's Day, in the afternoon hour when we were resting and had some good conversation, our dear beloved friends asked a few questions. One of the things we were brought to consider and acknowledge to them was the death of my son, our son. And when you see the Lord so wonderfully gave grace, when I saw, knew in that immediate moment that he was dead, the words came so, I can say blessedly, wonderfully really. The words of Eli came, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And so one can say, and I don't want to just advertise this for any of you to give any praise to me or praise to God, but what I could say was the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, even at that moment. And so there was no argument or complaining to the man who was the driver who caused the trouble, who caused my dear son's death. I could submit, I could accept, even in that moment, what had happened. And of course, in the will of God, it was part of the cup which my Father had appointed for me, for my dear one. And I think of this with each of you, whatever it is that you have to bear, whatever you have to experience, it's part of the cup that your Father hath appointed for you, given you. But oh, of course it's, and I would try to find words to put the right level on it, friends. It's not what the Lord suffered, but it is in little measure as these words the Lord so quoted in his perfect words, his perfect heart and mind and what he's making known. And how he was rebuking Peter and making known to all those there the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, it is absolutely so that regarding all the will of God for his dear people, it will be that they shall have to drink the cup their Father has given them. There can't be any avoiding it. There can't be any getting round it. The will of God will be done. And of course, God's people have to submit to the will of God. The wonderful favours of God giving, the graces of the Spirit, that the people of God, his dear children, children of God and joint heirs with Christ, his people are. And they are wonderfully the recipients of all needed grace. He gives grace. He will give grace and glory. Those words were so made so precious to me and my dear one and I, at that time we've just mentioned of. He will give grace and glory. He will. We have to suffer these things. We have to go in this path he's appointed for us. We have to live in the vale of tears. We have to suffer and experience the trials of life and tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure as they go on in the pathway, the pilgrimage journey. And so you, each of you and me, I want to, as God helps us, we beg he may help us to consider these words, and we do pray for the much needed reverence that we may very carefully consider these words. I don't want to take them out of context or speak on them and use them in any wrong way. But oh, to come to our Lord, what he said in this way, it meant and it was the fact. It must go to Calvary. He must suffer, bleed and die in his people's room, place and stead. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And of course, then immediately this band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Cleophas, which was the high priest that same year. And oh, then there is that we know he was led into the judgment hall and questioned in the way he was standing before the governor. And oh, how he answered not a word. Friends, so willing to drink that cup. How bitter the cup which he drank quite up. Friends, oh, does the Holy Spirit come to us now at these moments as we consider this word to sanctify us, to know that we're treading holy ground, that we're in the way of the Spirit, as I trust given the word, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And you know, the example, the perfect, highest example is the Lord himself. He did go on. They led him to the high priest. They scourged him on the place of the pavement. They led him out to Calvary. They crucified him on that tree. Oh, crucified him. The Roman soldiers did the deed, but sinner, thou hast made the Saviour bleed. Does it come like that by the Spirit to you? It's thy sins, it's my sins that made the Saviour bleed. But oh, what great favour it is. It's very solemn, it's very deeply solemnising to have that. And like we've been singing, those two hymns we've already sung, very significant in my life and experience. But when one was brought under solemn conviction of sin after the Lord had stopped me in my wild career, it was in those days we were under deep conviction of sin. And the solemnity of eternity was so solemn to me. That hymn that we begun in was given out at Stockport Hope Chapel by our late friend Mr. Christian. That is David Christian's father, who was deacon, a godly deacon there. And there the Lord so solemnly affected me under the theme of that hymn, that first hymn we've sung this morning, those words, eternity, tremendous sin. And the second hymn we sung, especially the words, but if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood. I didn't, at that point, under the law of God, I didn't have any hope. Christ had not yet been really wonderfully revealed to me. I was under condemnation, expecting damnation. But oh, the theme of the words. And then the light, the little light that was given. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, in that word of eternity. Oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accent, how divine. And the days, and you young people, you any here that are young in the way, I know older friends can be young in the way. If the Lord has just recently begun to deal with you and solemnized you, you might have been coming to chapel all your life or many, many years, unconcerned, thinking you're all right and thinking that you've been doing right and living right. But then, if not yet called by grace, but if it be God's will to really solemnize you, even perhaps under what themes we've been expressing of the hymns. Oh, if you begin to seek the Lord because you know solemnly now your need of salvation. Oh, how wonderful if some measure of light is given and you see now differently to what you did before. As I've said, any that are young in the way, how you will be perhaps able to recognise and acknowledge what we're saying, of how God solemnises his people, makes them to become very concerned about their never dying souls, very concerned about eternity, and to need and to feel to be in need of being prepared for that great day, the day of judgment. For we must all appear, we read it this morning with my dear one, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, to be prepared is the vital important thing, friends. It is. And oh, then you will understand if the Lord give you exercise to need to be prepared by God, need of salvation, you'll be marched then in a feeling of great favour of God to you if he shows you the way of salvation, if he reveals Christ to you, and if he leads you into what the Lord even states here. Oh, that he must drink that cup. He must suffer, bleed and die. He must bear the curse and sin and suffer for the sins of the people of God. He must go right through. You know here when, as we read, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know how he prayed there. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as they will. Praying to God his Father. You know those words, the deeper words, as the record is there, continuing. Being in an agony. He prayed the more earnestly. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling from the ground. Fall into the ground. Oh, yeah. Our Lord suffered there. Began to suffer in that tremendous weight and burden being upon him. Oh, friends, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? those that are raised with understanding and really no felt need of salvation, oh, how they will be so deeply thankful that the Lord their God did go right through, did suffer. Those words we preached from a few years ago, Clifton Chapel, the words that the Lord spoke to his disciples earlier, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and here am I straitened till it be accomplished. And he wasn't straitened. He went right through. He suffered, bled and died. He suffered in walking this earth as he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And oh, he suffered, as we have said, in Gethsemane. All the wrath of God he was beginning to feel coming upon him. The weight and burden of the sins of all those God the Father had given him to come to this earth to save, to redeem, to save by his sacrifice, and that he must go to Calvary and there suffer the just for the unjust to bring his people to God. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And I hope we can say we know the answer. And those that feared him, who heard him speak, knew the answer. They must drink it. He must drink it right up. So bitter the cup that he drunk right up. And we can't really begin to estimate the bitterness, the pain, all that he suffered, even in his holy body, but oh, greater the pangs of his mind and what he suffered in his holy soul. Oh, we cannot begin to really know the greatness of it, the measure of it. But he suffered it. And you in your life, sanctified by the Spirit and following Christ, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. You see how bitter, how hard it was. Oh, how that one had to be constrained and commanded to carry his cross out to Calvary. He was so weak. Oh, he was so suffering, beginning and going to Calvary to suffer there, absolutely for all the sins of the whole family of God, to bear their sins in his own body on the tree. The cup which my Father hath given me. But friends, I do believe that under such wonderful appearing of God and favours God gives his people to come in the favour of faith, he granting the faith to them, to enable them to believe and to believe to the saving of their souls in the sacrifice of Christ and all what he has accomplished, and how he, the Son of God, is pleading all what he has accomplished here on earth. He pleads before the Father's face in heaven as he intercedes and stands there between us and God in garments that he still has. A human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains and their afflictions his. And God's people are so blessed and favoured by faith, as they are blessed to believe in Jesus Christ and live upon his merit, and are blessed to be enabled to cast all their care upon him and believing he cares for them. He is ever living to make intercession for them. And so as they live and go on in their journey of life, it's trusting in him, living upon him, hoping in him. But you see, as they go on in their life, they have to have pain and suffering and tribulation. And they have to have experiences of going through trials and troubles and sorrows, through many dangers, toils and cares. Dear Newton said, I have already come. And some of us can say that because we've experienced these things. but God has helped and undertook for us, and he's led us on, and he's given grace, and as I've already said, he will give grace and glory. You know, under God's sanctifying of every deep distress of the child of God's experience, they realise this is their Father's will, what they are having to know. The Father's hand prepares the cup, and what his will, or what he wills, is best. How blessed we are when we can really submit to the will of God in this way and not complain. We are so easily, through the old nature, so easily we can complain with blessings in our hand. We do not want to in our right mind. But oh, how wonderful it is as God gives grace and sanctifies his people, they're saved from the complaining, the murmuring. They have the grace of submission. They can accept the will of God. They are humbled under a sense of the perfect will of God, their Father, for them. They are able to acknowledge it humbly. They have contrite hearts. They have softness. They're made soft by the wonderful softening work and operation of the Spirit. Oh, what can soften hearts of stone? We're all troubled with our hearts of stone at times. We're cold and we're indifferent, and we're very often sad over it. That is in the exercise of the new man, because we are so left to ourselves. But oh, what can soften hearts of stone? Jesus' precious blood alone. And being led to consider him and to see him by faith and to hear his voice. And oh, how humbled God's people are when they are blessed to have fellowship and communion with Christ and fellowship with God through the mediator's blood. And so, as I must say, in the little way as compared, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Whatever it is at this time, and I especially think of my dear brother here, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Submit to it. Oh, at most we do but taste the cup of sorrows and deep sadness it may be. He alone has drunk it up. Oh, the cup of suffering, of sin, our sin. Oh, we're sinners. And really, oh, it may be like, as we preached here recently, like the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, nor the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Yes, oh, his kindness shall not depart. His love is the same. His love is from everlasting to his people. Oh, he loves beyond degree, friends. His people, so precious to him. Your heavenly Father knoweth. Oh, he has appointed everything for you, and that you shall receive grace. You shall be given all you need. Oh, everything is in his hand to give, to grant you all you need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. He giveth grace. He giveth more grace. It will be like a late dear friend, Mr. Crowder, preached at Ashwell. Great grace was upon them all. That's many years ago. But there, wonderfully, he was led to speak and preach the word upon great grace. Great grace was upon them all. All those that have gone home, great grace was upon them. Oh, and great grace upon God's people. They journey on, led on by God, and God giving all needed grace. He will give grace and glory. I know I've quoted it several times now, but He will, friends. We trust Him for that. He gives that faith. His people may trust Him, may believe as they cast all their care upon Him. Oh, His own words, He careth for you. His word through Peter, He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him. Committing your way unto Him. Seeing Him as Paul writes in Hebrews, our forerunner who is for us entered into heaven. He's in heaven. He's coming again to receive His people. He will come at the last trump. He will, like we read in the word in Isaiah 63, oh, He shall come that second time to judge the world in righteousness, to take His ransomed people home, those that are not yet all brought and taken home already. There is that great number already home in heaven, but there will be the fulfillment of it. I think of the words used by God's dear servant, even regarding as He came to take the baptizing service of our dear friend and brother, and He spoke the word, the culmination, our dear late friend, use that term. Oh, the wonderful culmination ultimately is heaven. Heaven and our journey's end in view in the eye of faith is what God grants to His people. I shall soon be landed on yonder shores above, all through Him that loved us, all through Him that drank the cup of the wrath of God right up, who did all what was needed for the redemption of the church, who rose again for His people's justification and is in heaven now. He, the Son of God, who lives now no more to die, and is in those holy offices, interceding, pleading the cause, mediating. He's the intercessor, the mediator, the great high priest, our all, Jesus, my all. To heaven is gone. Here I may fix my hopes upon. And so under the perfect will and purpose of God, our Heavenly Father, we live. We live upon the merits of Christ. We live, we trust, believing with that grace given, faith in exercise. We live by faith upon the Son of God. And oh, what we need to say, and God blesses His people to enable them to acknowledge it and testify, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Because He drank the cup right up of all the wrath of God for His people. And that cup which thy Father has given thee, O Lord, while supported by grace, now all the afflictions I see, you feel it, friends. You're led into it. You're enabled to endure by the grace of God that He gives you. You're enabled to pursue the narrow way till Him you view in glory. Oh, the favour of living, as we know, as we are, many of us in old days, to live the remainder of our days out as we may be enabled to the honour and glory of our God. Oh, to be living upon the fullness of the Saviour and trust in God our Heavenly Father, that He will give that grace, and His grace shall to the end stronger and brighter shine, nor present things nor things to come shall quench the spark divine. The Lord keeps His people alive. wonderfully does. We felt it yesterday afternoon in preaching down at Handcross. The Lord, he first made us spiritually, quickened us, made us to be regenerated by grace, born of the Spirit. And he who first made us still keeps us alive. This is a reality, friends, of real experience of God's dealings with his people, his providing for them, and his doing all in them. Yes. And the favour, friends, that we may live under the blessed favour of having submission to the will of God. It is very blessed and precious. It really is such a favour that God, our Heavenly Father, grants us, and to accept his will concerning us and to live in this way can only be this way of living can only be lived under and in and by the grace of God. You will say humbly, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yes, no boast of the flesh. Oh, we're made to be self-renouncing, grace-admiring, made unto salvation wise. Yes, and in that holy heavenly wisdom, like our Lord, our God, our Saviour, we shall be able humbly to say, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The old nature would not drink it. But as Jesus was so willing to die, he does impart to his people, in that much lesser way, of course, but in some measure, he grants to his people the willingness. They're made willing in the day of his power. They are willing to live the life of the cross. There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. They're given the grace to daily take up the cross and follow him. Oh, what is your cross, friend? What is your burden, your affliction? Oh, what is appointed for you? Oh, whatever is appointed for you by your Heavenly Father, surely he will give you the grace to bear it. He'll give you the grace to submit to his will. Oh, I believe I can say this by some experience of it. He giveth grace, he giveth more grace. And so it will be so part of thy favour being in and under sanctification, the Lord separating you out to his glory, that you live here your life, and are learning in the school of God, the school of Christ, how to live. It teaches us lessons how to live, friends, and firmly to believe. He teaches us those lessons we need to learn against the way of Satan, that we may be able to resist him by faith. We may be able to endure. They that endure to the end shall be saved. Oh, friends, the favours by grace God grants his people. These are the realities of submitting to the will of God and living in that way upon the fullness of the Saviour. You know, when the Son is honoured by his people, enabled by his grace to live upon the fullness of the Saviour, then the Father is honoured too. Oh, you praise God, your Heavenly Father. You praise Father, Son and Holy Ghost. So may we be helped and enabled us to go on in the way, friends, day by day. The words here, so much I pray we may meditate upon. You may feel the favour, the deep in it, as God may sanctify you, favour you, in the favour of being given that willingness to carry the cross, to suffer for his sake, to live to his praise, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? But in all of it, friends, as we have and are given enabling grace to bear our sorrows, to carry the cross, may we ever be remembering our Lord. You know, as I've told you before, one time I come to preach on a Friday. The Lord had given me the word from the Lord's Day evening, travelling home, to come to you. It was, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. And I pray, because the devil attacked me much in the days of the week, but I was praying, begging the Lord to confirm the text when we arrived, and if it be the Lord's will. And I didn't know which deacon it would be in the vestry, but may the deacon pray in his prayer and mention consideringly. And our dear friend here, who we feel so much for at this time, began his prayer, and his first words were, Lord, do help us to leave all what we've been doing today and consider thee. Friends, such is our God, and such are we, the subjects of his wise decree. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Amen.
Let's close with hymn 182. If ever it could come to pass that sheep of Christ might fall away, my fickle, feeble soul, alas, would fall 1,000 times a day. Were not thy love as firm as free, thou soon wouldst take it, Lord, from me. 182.
to forgive anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. O keep us in the interval, Lord, and knoweth we hope to be a hearer this afternoon. The Lord be with each of the friends here and bless and help them, keep us. Come up with us this evening, Lord, and may we feel thy presence then and worship thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, help us each and lead us on in the way. Lead us in the way everlasting. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.